The very illusion of illusion. This is Monk Sylvia. When I look outside, it seems, or the world seems very real to me. And especially also, I'm just sitting here at the dinner table, and all the foods that I see and eat seems very, very real to me. I was just having an orange for dessert, and it has such a delightful smell and flavor about it. And I was reminded of an orange orchard I walked through, and while it is in bloom, and the fragrance is just divine, beautiful. And what is it? It's delightful, but it's also an illusion. And I was reminded of it because in the book, the Living with the Himalayan Masters, in one of the stories, he talks about a few students of metaphysics or yogic science, whatever it was, who were creating an orange tree outside somewhere of a house, and it looked very beautiful, and it even had oranges on, but the oranges were not real. They were not a real illusion. They couldn't eat them. So when their master passed by, he looked at the orange tree and said, you guys, yeah, let me correct that and make that orange tree a real orange tree. And he, whatever he did, spoke his word, visualized it, revealed it into being, and the orange tree was real, and the oranges were to be picked and eaten. Where is now the illusion? Is the illusion what I grow out here in the orchards, or is the illusion in the orange tree that brings forth oranges that are not to be eaten? Or is the illusion to bring forth an orange out of the nothingness, just revealing it out of my thought, out of my visualization, as an act of creation? It's a funny thing with these illusions, because if I just think, I'm still sitting here at the dinner table, if I think what the food industry has put into our consciousness, what food does to us and our body, it's just an amazing thing that we believe that we believe that margarine does this, or cake does this, and you know, all this stuff. And again, coming back to a story in the Himalayan Masters, when Swami Rama was traveling India and went from master to master, he came to one which he didn't find very sympathetic, and he was thinking, should I stay overnight here or not? And then he decided, well, for whatever reason, I was guided to come here, so I stay. And then the master told him to go down to the river, and at the river there would be a dead chicken floating by, and he should take out that dead chicken from the river, and they would have that for dinner. And Swami Rama said to see himself, oh my goodness, no, that's not really the maximum, I mean, a dead chicken for dinner. But because he had learned the humility to follow orders, he went to the river, and lo and behold, there came a chicken floating down. And so he took it out and brought it back to the master. And the master said, thank you, and put it in the pot over the fire. And after a certain time, he opened the pot again and dished out supper for Swami Rama. And with a little bit of reluctance, Swami Rama put the spoon into the meal and tasted it, and it was the best rice pudding he had ever eaten in his life. What an illusion. a dead chicken. We would say, no, never, I would eat the dead chicken. It would hurt my body. It would do something to my system. But it's just an illusion. It's just a thought. And to be master, naturally, of the food that I'm eating is really quite masterful. But there's another thing that helped me with this topic this evening, because science somehow, they are just always catching up with our metaphysical aspects of life, and now especially of food, because NASA has a research project going to create fresh meat in artificially, they create it, and naturally they say it's not soon to be had in restaurants. Well, we will not have a steak grower as the next appliance in our kitchen very soon, but they are working on it, and they can't yet keep the meat long enough alive, you know, that it could even go to a restaurant or so. But they have launched that program because they thought of the astronauts who might want to or like to have fresh meat while they are traveling for months up in the atmosphere. Now, I've just lost my thread. Mm-hmm. Just saw her closing his eyes, and I thought to myself, maybe sleep is just also an illusion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, was with the... Yeah, and here we come again close to the illusion, because then they were talking about having low-fat chicken and low-fat meats and, you know, all sorts of healthy meats, slaughter less meats. You know, just imagine, you know, now we say there are lots of people who don't eat meat because it's coming from an animal that has been killed to have the meat. But now they're developing and they're looking into creating meat that has not been slaughtered. Again, what an illusion. And if I just check into these illusions, I never come to an end, because it's just a never-ending chain of thoughts that are revealed, that are manifested in my world in whatever way I choose. And naturally, I'm here on this planet for quite a while, and I've had the opportunity to look into many magazines and newspapers and listen to many, many, many people and listen to the many ideas they had about the illusion of food. And my goodness sakes, it's now about time that I make my own illusion, my own idea about food, and knowing that my body really doesn't need it, and that I am at all times fulfilled and satisfied, and that I am really, what we said this evening again at the table, whole and perfect. There's nothing to add, nothing to take away. That's just a reality, and there's nothing I can add to it with food or vitamins or any healthy stuff, because I'm already healthy, and I'm as healthy there's no superlative for how healthy I really am. So the very illusion of illusion is always coming back to thought, and being in control of my thought is the secret of having the best and most wonderful rice pudding in the world every day, every moment, because I'm in charge of my creation. So it is, and I love you.